Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Life Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Bunch of stuff to talk about this week. Good stuff, bad stuff, the usual bullshit from me for the next 2 hours. I'll say if you do want to listen live, you are listening on the old the podcast. I do go live 9 o'clock UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. I believe the clocks are changing, I think so, not next week or the week, probably the week after. But as soon as I know and I can be asked to look it up, I will let you know because I know the, keep everyone updated when I'm going live and that. Contact us. Yes. You want to Skype in, it's Antisocial Game Radio. Add that to your Skype contacts. You want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also you can like the show on Facebook, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at MLR Gamer Radio. I've done a bunch of stuff this week. Basically, mostly Final Fantasy related. I went to my event, which I was really excited for. I got there a bit late. It was supposed to start at 1. I got there about 1:30 because there was like no train, so I had to get a bus. I was waiting for a bus, and I missed out, just delays in traffic, and I got off the bus too early, so I had to walk up the road. Got there. Said hello to a couple of people who were sort of organising it. Got a beer. Went downstairs. Everyone else was sort of mingling around tables and talking to each other. I was sort of against the wall, like I was 12 at a disco again. And basically, I literally drunk my first beer, I'm like, all right, I need another beer. So I went back upstairs and had another beer. And I'm like, well, this isn't happening. So I fucked off, pretty much. I mean, I was really excited for the event, but it was sort of, it's one of those things. I mean, I'm not awkward with people. I'm very okay with people as long as I know people there. Otherwise, that's the thing. I was like, I could have introduced myself, but I'm like, they're just, I worry that people get the thing with me sometimes. It's like, okay, who the fuck's this idiot? And that's what I didn't like to happen. So I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm off. So basically, when I went back upstairs, finished my second beer, all the organisers sort of, they were mingling over stuff and their backs were turned. So basically, I snuck out the door. So basically, I was, you know, I'm a bit of a lightweight as well. So like, I'm two beers in after about half an hour. I'm not falling over myself, but I'm like, I am feeling very jolly and happy with myself. So I'm like, well, this is about, I think 10 past two that I left after getting there about half past one. Yeah, I'm sort of literally walking down the street quite happy and jolly after two pints. And basically, I get home about, I think, was it like an hour, 45 minutes, an hour later. I'm literally back indoors. I've got a, you know, sort of drunken stupor. I'm like, yep, I need a kebab. So I basically went, got a kebab, came back home, eating that, and I'm playing Final Fantasy 14. And that's pretty much what I did. I mean, I was off work last week, basically just, you know, for holidays and stuff. But so basically I spent all that time playing Final Fantasy, like, I think it was like, 15, 16 hours a day, just sort of grinding away. I'm doing really good. But yeah, I say the event didn't go as well as I'd hoped. I mean, I was barely there. But I mean, I guess the people who went there had fun and stuff and whatever. But it's just sort of, as I'm still new, it just sort of seemed awkward. And the group that organises stuff on Facebook, it's a dead fucking group. There's literally nothing going on in it. I mean, there's other groups that I'm in to do with Final Fantasy, and there's literally tons of activity going on. This was a fucking dead stick. But no, I'd say it would have been good if I'd known some people, but that's the thing with me. It's like, unless I know people at these places, I just sort of do my own shit, and, you know, basically if it's not going right or whatever, I just fuck off, pretty much. But yeah, I say, I mean, it looks like everyone had fun and stuff, but I mean, I just felt awkward, you know, unless I know people there who, you know, or I'm wanted there, I don't, you know, feel the need. That's why I went, you know, to the Eurogamer Expo a couple of years ago, and yeah, I had a walk around the floor, I saw some bits, I queued up for Pokemon for about an hour, or fucking knows how long I was queued up for, I saw what I wanted, and I fucked off. There's, you know, no real reason to do anything, but yeah, you know, it would have been nice to talk about some stuff, but I mean, it's this the digital age. It's like, I could go on GameFAQs or go on the various Facebook groups to do with Final Fantasy and talk to people there. And that's the thing. It's, I mean, yes, it's nice to get a bunch of people who just sort of sit in front of the computers or consoles or whatever out and about. I mean, literally, I've got tons of fucking people saying to me, why don't you get out more? So I try. And basically, it just doesn't go as well as I had expected. But I got out, I went out, I got changed, put some nice clothes on, and, you know, basically headed out. But, you know, that was it, really. But yes, yeah, so I literally, because I was off last week, I have been playing tons and tons of Final Fantasy. I'm sort of far in certain places and sort of far in not so far in other places. I mean, my character level's at 32.5 at the moment. Where I should be, I think with the main story stuff, the mission I'm doing now, I think it's supposed to be level 21, so I'm like way above where I'm supposed to be. But I'm sort of doing side missions and stuff. I'm doing a lot of crafting, because basically I'm just trying to make some money. And I'm doing good, actually. I've got, I think, 160,000 gil, which is pretty decent. I sold a whole bunch of shit and made a load of money doing it. But yeah, I'm sort of just sort of crafting and doing my jobs and stuff. Oh, I got my my Black Mage job. I got my job crystal, so I did all the got my Thermitage up to level 30, unlocked the Black Mage job quest, done that, got my crystal, so now I'm a Black Mage. Haven't really done too much with it. I was sort of haven't touched many of the quests and stuff. I've just been doing random bits and pieces. I mean, I've done a few. I was going to spend the whole day today just sort of grinding Grand Company seals to get my rank up. But yeah, it just wasn't doing anything with that. So basically, I was sort of sitting here just fishing and stuff. I literally just be doing basic all my crafting, trying to get I think my Fisher was at, I think, level 12 this morning. It's now like 20, 21. So I'm basically just sort of doing that sort of stuff. I mean, like, there's tons of guides on the internet. So I'm basically trying to race through that lot, trying to get all my crafting and my jobs up to 50 to, you know, max it out so that I can start making stuff that's high quality. Most of the gear that I have on my most of my jobs is high quality stuff because I've been farming so much of the basic resources. I can just sort of sit here and craft away, and if it doesn't go, you know, guess doesn't become high quality gear, I can just sort of sell it on the old auction house, which I've been doing and making a lot of money from, and, you know, having tons of fun with. But it's a whole bunch of stuff. I'm sort of literally going very nerdy with this stuff. I'm like making lists. I'm like, well, I've got this to get. I've got to buy this. I've got to sell that and sell that. And I've got to organize my retainers. I'm just very, very nerdy with this whole sort of stuff. But yeah, I've been having tons of fun with it. I do want to get more into the main story stuff. But this crafting thing's just, it's just taking me over. It really is. Because it's sort of, I mean, it's my day off today. It's gone so quick because I've literally been sitting here fishing, or, I mean, even before the show, I was sort of working on my carpentry, working on my blacksmith and my armoring, just trying to get my stuff up to at least level 20, so that way I can keep all my gear, because I've got so much gear knocking around from you know, my gathering gear, my crafting gear. Just trying to make sure that I'm all at the same level, so I only have like one set of gear. That way, once it's becomes, I can bind it and turn it into materia. I can sort of either sell that materia or, you know, try and figure out how I'm supposed to equip it to my armor. But yeah, I'm safe for fantasy. It's tons and tons of fun. But yeah, I'm not sure what else to talk about. There's so much stuff going on in the world. I've opened up more areas. I need to go back to, what the hell is it? The Gold Saucer. To go back in there and do some chocobo racing. That's an aspect of the stuff I've got to do. I want to get into once I've got enough money from doing all this crafting stuff. I want to, you know, have my own chocobo and, you know, start the racing and start the breeding and stuff. But that sort of shit requires a lot of money. So basically now it's get as much money as I can, try and get my level up to 50. I've got to, you know, start trying to get my level up. I've been various quests, and it's the thing, it's literally, I had last week off. I spent so much time doing this, playing this game, I could do it like a whole month off and I'd probably max out my characters and my character and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, just basically doing bits of that. I mean, I did other stuff. I turned my 3DS on for the first time in about a month to check my poker bank thing that runs out in about 2 days, and I said, do you want to renew it? I'm like, nope. But I got some free Pokemon from it, so I literally downloaded them, chucked them into chucked them into my other cartridge. So that's in there. Nothing to do with my Pokemon at the moment. It's like, there's not much to play, or you know, other stuff to play that I'm interested in. I mean, I was looking at a friend of mine's put a video of this free game on the PlayStation from the freebie game for this week on the for this month on the PlayStation. Some sort of it did look like this ninja game that I had on my Xbox. But yeah, it looks really fun. I'm going to download that and give that a go in the next couple of days. So I'll probably talk about that next week. But yeah, I say we're in a bit of a, you know, I mean, yes, apart from the fact that, you know, Dying Light's come out, we're in a bit of a dead zone for games at the moment. I mean, there's stuff coming out that I want to play and stuff that I want to, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to Mortal Kombat. I do want to get into Dying Light eventually. There's stuff later in the year. We've got the Star Wars game that's coming out, the Star Wars Battlefront. The new Battlefield Hardline looks fun. I'm looking forward to playing that. You know, I mean, GDC's this week, and we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on about that, which I'll get to next week once we all have all the stories and information. But yeah, it just seems like so slow at the moment with gaming. There's just nothing really going on at the moment. But, you know, whatever. You know, I'll always have stuff to talk about. I'll get to the news in a sec. But, my Final Fantasy event didn't go so good. But I say we do have the live event, the MLR Live 3, in about 7-8 weeks. It's going to come by really soon. I'm all packed and ready. I've picked up some more of my American dollars. I've just got to get some more bits and pieces. And, I'm ready to go. So, basically, April 25th, downtown Lakeland, Florida. We are teaming up with the Moxie LaFemme Burlesque Troupe. Yeah, it's basically Saturday night from 8:30 till midnight. It's going to be a great party. It's, you know, it's going to be a great event. And, I mean, I'm not so sure what's going on. I mean, I know there's dancing and stuff. I think Mersh is doing some stand-up and there's some other bits and pieces going on. But, yeah, it's I'm so excited for this thing. I'd say it's every time we have an event. I think this is the one I'm most excited for. I mean, first one, amazing. You know, got to hang out with everyone, see everyone, you know, be a team. And last year, same thing. But I say this one, don't know. It just feels even better. I think, you know, they keep getting better and better and better. And it's something more to look forward to every year, basically. But, yeah, I mean, this, I've got my Pokemon Nationals, which I'm not, as I say, I'm going off my Pokemon. I'm not even that fussed about going to for the Pokemon tournament. I'm just looking forward to sort of dossing around in Manchester for a couple of days, doing bugger all. I mean, the Trafford Centre, I didn't get to check out last year because I was fucking like 5 hours waiting for shit to happen. But hopefully this year we'll have something decent happening. You know, we won't be waiting around for ages, but we can get all the battling done and, you know, be done by about 5-6 o'clock. That way I can go out and drink with my mates and actually have some food. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of looking forward to this stuff, but we'll wait and see. I'm not too sure anyway. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. As I say, there's not much going on for me personally or gaming-wise. Oh, I did discover, though, I can charge my PlayStation controller up on my phone charger, which has made me very happy. Because, I mean, playing Final Fantasy, it drains your battery like you wouldn't believe, and which is nice for actually where I'm sitting on my sofa. I can sort of lean back and have the phone charger plugged in right next to me and still play the controller at the same time instead of having to sort of, you know, sit in front of the telly and damage my eyes even more. But yeah, I say nothing much going on really. It's a very slow week for me with gaming. There's nothing going on. Nothing to play. I mean, I do want to pick up eventually Afterburner for my 3DS, but it's just sort of so slow, really. Nothing really major happening. But as I say, there's nothing major. I'll get straight into the news. Got some Nintendo stuff. I'll do the old bits first. This is from Eurogamer. Nintendo kills 3DS browser exploit via new firmware update. No more Pokemon Shuffle or ROM injection hacks. Nintendo has issued... I heard about some stuff like this, but I wasn't paying too much attention. I mean, I've heard a lot about the Pokemon Shuffle thing, but it just didn't really care enough to actually, you know, download it and whatever. But, you know, it's a free game, so, you know. It's like Nintendo has issued a new 3DS firmware update, which I downloaded today because I had to try and do my Pokemon stuff on my... what the fuck was it? On my Pokebank. But they said download software update, so I did. That blocks a major web browser exploit. The hack allowed users to inject code within downloaded games, allowing for a number of illegal uses. A method was discovered to run pirated Game Boy Color ROMs with relative ease. Another piece of code, it changed the 3DS setting so it became region free. So basically made it fun again. Scroll down. Yeah, last week an exploit... last week an exploit emerged that allowed users to bypass paying for microtransactions in free-to-play puzzler Pokemon Shuffle just days after the game's launch. The web browser exploit only available on 3DS, 3DS XLs, and 2DSs. The new 3DS and 3DS XL models were immune to the method as they featured an updated browser app. New system updates, 9.5.0-23 allowed available today. Download updates to the 3DS web browser and it closes the exploited loophole completely. So that's good, I guess. I mean, Pokemon Shuffle is a free game. Why do you need to? And microtransactions. I mean, there's no rush for anyone to. I mean, other games like Clash of Clans and what the fuck is it? Broom Beach, there we go. I mean, I've seen some of the people, the high-level players, and how they've got all their stuff set up. I can understand them, you know, that would be helpful for them, because, you know, I mean, my mate's playing Clash of Clans and Broom Beach, and always minding about getting raided and having his resources stolen, but this sort of stuff would be better for them. But Pokemon Shuffle, it's a bit of a weird one for, you know, for that to be, you know, had a go at. But yeah, I say run the pirated Game Boy Color ROMs. That sounds actually fun. What else we got? Let's see. Sony stuff. Yes. All about Gran Turismo. Over a year after release, Gran Turismo 6 finally gets a B-spec mode. The Midfield Raceway and GTA Vision Mini also added in the latest update. The Gran Turismo 6 has received a B-spec, B-spec mode, an option that allows you to nominate an A1 driver to take your place in career events well over a year after the game first released. I mean, we did that with Forza, I believe. I mean, I know that I did that on several of the races, the ones that I didn't like doing. And I think I finished off most of the game by doing it like that anyway. B-Spec mode comes as part of a version 1.16, which went live today, weighing in at 536 megabytes. The option to have an AI partner has been a popular part of the series since Gran Turismo 4, with players using the feature to assist with the completion of some of the most grueling endurance events. Update 1.16 also introduces Midfield Raceway, a fictional track that debuted in Gran Turismo 2 that has been updated for the PlayStation 3 with variable time and weather options available. Also new is the GTA Vision Mini Clubman, a concept car designed bespoke for developer Polygon's game. I'm just looking at this fucking car. This looks pretty cool. Sorry, for the developer Polyphony's game. There we go. While the latest update brings Gran Turismo 6 near to completion, we're still awaiting key features such as the course builder, which once touted for the PlayStation 3's title, is that something that now being held back for the PlayStation 4's Gran Turismo 7? Series creator Kazunori Yamauchi has told Eurogamer that Polyphony is also working on the game, and we hopefully see more of it later this year. Yes, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, let's talk about that for a quick sec. I think we're going to get, I think this year for E3 and all this, or, you know, the events and stuff, this is going to be the sort of main breakout year where we're going to get the titles that we do want to see. We're going to get to see Mass Effect 4. We're going to see more of Uncharted. We're going to see maybe a new, the new Gears of War. We've supposed to got this Star Fox game coming out, which I've seen nothing on. I've seen no articles on it. There's, so much stuff. Maybe they'll announce a new Metroid. I mean, I'm looking to get a Wii U, and Zelda and Star Fox, and just give us some stuff to play. I mean, as I've said before many a time, Nintendo only makes like a very few titles. Their main franchises, the ones that we all know, but you've got a console that doesn't really have many of them. And it's just, usual bullshitty Mario stuff. And that's about it. I mean, there's like that Xenoblade game, which I'm looking forward to, which looks fun. Monster Hunter, maybe. Give that a go. Yeah, wait and see. We'll see how it goes. All right. Back to the thingies. Okay. But yeah, Gran Turismo 6 with the B-spec mode... I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say because it's making the game too easy, because, I mean, I did the same thing for my Forza, but it's like, I don't know. Just why do you have to make... That's the thing. Same with racing games in general. I mean, there was tons of racing games, say, with Forza. Like the courses, it's like, well, you got to do a lap, say, like, so many times, and it's into, like, nearly triple digits, that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, what's the fucking point? It's not NASCAR. It's like, I mean, that's what things with... I remember many stories from growing up when Gran Turismo 1 and 2 came out, and they had these big endurance races, and that's like my friends, like a friend of mine and his brother were doing the races, like one would do so many laps and take a break, then do so many laps and take a break. And why is there a need to have so many laps of the same circuit? It just, yes, all right, it's an endurance, but you don't need that sort of stuff. That's why, I mean, I can compare it to stuff like, I mean, say with Final Fantasy at the moment. I remember with Final Fantasy 11, they had these big long boss battles. I mean, I remember hearing one of them was like 18 hours for a boss fight, whereas the dungeons I'm fighting in now, they limit you to about an hour and 10-20 minutes. and you have to get through it, do all the bits and pieces in that time limit. So you're not stuck there for hours, because there's no need to be stuck doing the same thing for hours and hours and hours on end to get very little reward, or just for a little check mark or something. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like games are changing altogether. But I mean, there was a whole thing with Nintendo a while ago about having an easy mode where the computer would take over some of the games. So I don't know. It just sort of, I don't know. Is it making it too easy for us? Maybe. But I say if it's helping out the fact that we don't have to do stuff that takes ages and ages and ages, then it shouldn't take ages and ages to do. It should be just sort of very simple. I mean, see, that could be said about games in general becoming easier. But would it mean like if we were doing, say, a racing Gran Turismo that had us doing 30, 40, 50 laps of a big, say, Nuremberg, I'm mixing up Forza and Gran Turismo now. But yeah, say like Nuremberg, you had to do like 50 times. That's a big fucking course. That would take me an hour and a half, thinking that, yeah, probably. I mean, how long it takes to go around that in the game, and yeah, it's just, what's the point? What benefit is that? You're making the player get bored of what they're doing. The whole thing with games is it grabs our attention, it distracts us from real world stuff. But just by doing this sort of thing, you're taking the fun away, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It's like, games are a little bit easier these days compared to the stuff we played before, but it's just gameplay mechanics and how games are being set out for us. I mean, we don't want to spend hours and hours and hours. We want to sort of play through it and get it done. I mean, that's the thing with when it comes to single player stuff. We mostly focus on the multiplayer these days, the co-op, the player versus player. There's no need for the whole, main single player has to be everything, because most people, with Call of Duty, people don't even play the single player these days. They just get on straight to the multiplayer. Say, like FIFA and Madden, they just do the ultimate team stuff. There's, other stuff out there to grab us with these games that we are getting these days. But yeah, I've got to move on to the next thing. They got release date for Final Fantasy X. For 10. Final Fantasy X 2 HD remaster for the PlayStation 4, this is. I mean, I know it came out on PlayStation 3 because I bought it. But yeah, it's coming out on the... See, this is weird. I don't get this. Right, I'll read the article, then I'll go into my little diatribe, as I do. There we go. Yeah, Final Fantasy X 2 HD remastered comes out on the PlayStation 4 on the 15th of May. Square Enix has announced it's available as a download and on a disc box priced at $39.99. Both games launch on PlayStation 4 with improved graphics. Final Fantasy X comes with the option to choose between the original and rearranged music. There's also cross save, so you can transfer your progress across your... Oh, that's all right. Your PlayStation 4, your PlayStation 3, and your Vita. Final Fantasy X 2 HD remaster launched for the PlayStation 3 and Vita in Europe last March. So basically, it's been out for a whole year. Wow, is it really that long? Shit. Digital Foundry's Final Fantasy X 2. They got just a comparison video here. But yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's been that long since it actually came out. But yeah, Jesus Christ. But I mean, yeah, as I say, this is what makes me laugh, because I was thinking about this the other day, because I know I've said on the show that I'm looking forward to getting the Final Fantasy VII, the PC port thing, but getting it on the PlayStation 4. But I'm kind of thinking now whether I don't want to, because I'm happy with how I am with my Final Fantasy 14. I have the Gold Saucer, sort of. I'll probably download it if it goes on sale, but apart from that, it's like there's no real need for me to play Final Fantasy VII again. And since I'm playing 14, which is online MMO, and it has basically all the stuff to keep me entertained, it has that whole RPG element that I like. It's got me crafting stuff, it's got me adventuring, it's got me collecting bits and pieces and doing various things that I enjoy doing on an RPG. But I mean, I'd love to see the sales for, you know, give it a year from now when we get the sales figures back from Final Fantasy X. I mean, you know, if people wanted to buy a remastered version of Final Fantasy X, they would have bought it for the PlayStation 3. I mean, I think that was the last game I actually played on my PlayStation 3, because it's literally, I'm staring me in the face, and it's just sort of sitting here doing nothing, but... I don't know. But yeah, I mean, go out and buy it if you want, but I do like the fact that it has the cross save, so, you know, we can go back to... I can sort of pick up my saves again if I do want to play Blitzball, having won everything, and spent hours and hours. Yeah, even though I love Blitzball, it does drag on for a hell of a lot of time, but... But yeah, I say, you know, pick it up when it comes out. I say 15th of May, it's coming out. I'm guessing this is a worldwide release, because it doesn't say if it's not. And usually I'll say this, but yeah, it's weird. It's one of those things. I just last time I was about sales number. It's like, yeah, if people would have bought it, they would have bought it on PlayStation 3. If people bought it on PlayStation 4. Then, I guess. I mean, I trust, even when I bought it on the PlayStation 3, I didn't even bother playing 10 too, I just played 10. And I'm like, yep, okay, YouTube please. Okay, what was the secret ending? And what was this, but then this, and HD version? Yeah, it's all on YouTube. Look it up, you know. It's one of those things. Let's move on to some more news. Okie dokie, one sec. There we go, yep. This could be, I mean, I need to play this again on my iPod. Fruit Ninja 2, Fruit Ninja Connect 2 for Xbox One in March. So that's this month. This came out the other day. Fruit Ninja creator Half Brick has announced Fruit Ninja Connect 2 for Xbox One. The citrus slicing sequel will launch on the 18th of March and cost $15. Originally a touch-based mobile app, Fruit Ninja first made the jump to home consoles via Fruit Ninja Connect for the Xbox 360. The new edition also includes... 5 new game modes, 4-person multiplayer, new unlockables, and yet more characters. I mean, I like Fruit Ninja. I haven't played it for ages. That's why I need to get onto it again on my iPod. I mean, I don't really play any games on my iPod, but literally, I've got several things set up. I've got like Crazy Taxi and Fruit Ninja, and I've got it's done by Square. It's, damn it, Chrono Trigger, there we go. Yeah, I've got Chrono Trigger, which I've barely touched. Just, you know, so much stuff that I want to play that it just drains the battery, like, really quick. So, basically, you know, trying to play it is a pain in the arse. But, yeah, Fruit Ninja, I mean, if I had an Xbox One with a Kinect, which would never happen, I would play Fruit Ninja. I mean, as I say, as much as I fucking shit on the Kinect, I think the Fruit Ninja would be actually the only game that I actually play. To be honest, I don't do the dance style stuff. I mean, this isn't a dance game, but it's similar sort of body movement stuff. But Fruit Ninja Connect would actually be fun. But I couldn't see the whole. It's quite cheap anyway, $15, just under £10. I could see buying it, but it still doesn't add any value to the Connect. It still doesn't make me want to buy an Xbox One with a Kinect. There's just nothing there. I mean, you know, it's not a... I mean, George, from what the stuff they have, that is the only game that I'd actually buy to use with the Kinect, but there's got to be more than that, otherwise, what's the point? You know? But Fruit Ninja 2, coming out on the Xbox One in March, about, what, 2-3 weeks away? Two and a bit weeks. Yeah, I think it's when I get paid, actually. Can't get by myself an Xbox One or Kinect. Let's look for some more news. I think that's all from the individual stuff. Okie dokie, let's have a look at this topic that I have. This is something I downloaded a couple of weeks ago. Distance introduces real horror to the racing genre. Early impressions of Refract's brilliantly subversive futuristic racer. Progressing through Distance's neon-lit cityscapes, you slowly start to realise there's always been a little Lovecraftian horror tugging under the futuristic racing genre. Who was it exactly that got rid of the Ghost Guard rails on the outer edges of F-Zero GX's Firefield undulation? I don't know what the hell that means. I like F-Zero, but just so many different titles. Which twisted architecture blah, 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 blah. One sec. Oh, there we go. Just got past where I was reading. I mean, they're saying pleasantly subversive is about distance. The work of Seattle. What the fuck is wrong with me tonight? Seattle-based Studio Refract, who have previously explored the genre with Neotronic Rush. Fire It Up and you've met an attractive, albeit fairly unremarkable, racer on that one that sets you across obstacle-littered courses designed to be tracked to the insistent rhythm of a euphoric soundtrack. This game actually looks pretty fucking cool, to be honest. I mean, I know this person who's talking about it is going to basically just bamboozle loads of words, but I mean, it does look pretty fucking sweet. That's not to say there aren't details to be admired. Your car is a joyfully squat thing, a piece of Daft Punk merchandise as manufactured by Dinky or Matchbox. The readout that lets you know how much boost is too much boost. This game looks pretty fucking sweet. I thought this topic was going to be about sort of horror in gaming, but it's not. It's just... whatever, fuck this title. This game looks pretty fucking cool. But I thought this article, I saw it a while ago. I thought it'd be more interesting about, that horror in a racing game, but it's not. It's just... Then bullshitting on his game. But this article now I've got, I've been looking forward to talk about, because I've talked about Japan with the arcade stuff recently, and I know I've been talking about several weeks about how mobile games taking over. But this is actually a fun little article that I wanted to talk to you a lot about. Japan, this is from Eurogamer as well, by the way. Japan's console market at lowest point for 24 years. 2014 saw Japan's home console and handheld game sales reach their lowest... And handheld game sales, really, reached the lowest point for 24 years. Japanese gamers bought fewer consoles and physical console games last year than in any year since 1990, when the SNES arrived in the country. Sales figures from Famitsu revealed the decline in full and all, despite the launch of the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 in Japan last year. 2014's total physical game sales for all home consoles and handhelds generated 369 billion yen, which is about £2 billion. Back in 2007, that number was nearly double, basically it's 688 billion yen, which is just under £4 billion. The 10 top selling games in Japan last year were all from Nintendo platforms, no shit. 8 of which were for 3DS, a reflection of Japan's preferential of handhelds in general. The Level 5 role player Yo-Kai Watch 2 sold the highest, just over 3 million copies, while Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire notched up 2.4. That's still good, Monster Hunter 4, Super Smash Bros. 3DS, Dragon Quest Monsters 2, and also charted highly, alongside Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. 3DS was, unsurprisingly, the top-selling console in Japan last year. It shifted 3.1 million units, making it for a 17.8 million lifetime total in the country. That's not bad. PlayStation Vita was the second best-selling console. Sony shifted 1.1 million units out of a 3.4 million Japanese lifetime total, which it's not good. It's not bad either. I can't remember this thing. PlayStation Vita was... I didn't read that bit. Numbers for home consoles were less rosy. PlayStation 4 launched and sold for 90... Wow, shit. Launched and sold 925,000 out of a 18.5 million worldwide total. Really? But that's not bad. Consider, PlayStation 4's been out for, two a bit years? I guess. Wii U sold 604,000 units. Xbox One launched and sold 47,900. It's a graph here. That's pretty cool. The following graph lays out 2.2. The fuck is wrong with me? I even cleaned my glasses and everything. The following graph lays out 2014's Japanese sales versus data from the last 27 years. And the best year that I can see is from basically 2007, 2008. And 2006, basically those 3 years are basically where it peaks. So, it's just weird. And basically, it's, you know, both software and hardware. So, yeah, it just... I mean, there's more to this article. But I'll carry on reading. Digital console sales remain low in the country while PC gaming has never been a huge force. Yeah, that makes sense. So that then is so what then is happening with the game sales in Japan? Eurogamer invested in the country's changing games landscape. There we go. In detail, following the Tokyo Game Show from 2012, and found the decline in traditional console sales was only part of the story. I think the Japanese market has declined. It's just moved, explained Monkey Paws, John Greemer, former head of the now defunct Hudson. Yeah, Hudson, who did the Bomberman stuff. We've shifted from a console-dominated market to a mobile-dominated market. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think there's some great games out there, but it might not be global or globally oriented games, just your RPGs of old that everyone loved, your fighters and things that don't necessarily translate to mobile. The Japanese games market is now dominated by huge developers such as Gree and Dina, which make vast amounts of money via games intended for a Japanese audience. See, this is what makes me get... This makes me jealous. Very jealous of the Japanese gaming market. The fact that I would love games that are basically Japanese-focused. I mean, I on iTunes and stuff, I always see all these Japanese sort of bullshitty dating stuff or, you know, Cookie Mama, all that sort of, you know, stuff they love out there. But we never get any of that shit over here. But it just does make me wonder. It's like, I know, I need to go to Japan. I really do. But yeah, I mean, I'm sort of looking at this stuff. I mean, I've seen it for years. I mean, the main things, I mean, as I read earlier, a few seconds ago, the stuff that has sold for the games in Japan, for the mobile stuff, you know, it's your Monster Hunt, it's your Nintendo stuff. This is what makes me feel so sad for Sony, the fact that, as, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking now about the Mike Myers doing this SNL bit and basically saying that Sony hasn't had a success since the Walkman. And this is proof of it. I mean, yes, the PlayStation 4 is doing big over here in Europe. The Xbox One does big in America. But on the home countries, I mean, you know, Sony, they're just sort of drifting out to sea, to be honest, with what they've got. I mean, what's the console now? Is it not PSP? It's PS Vita. That's, I mean, my mate I used to work with, he had a PSP, and that looked like an interesting thing, which no one bought. And the PS Vita's, fuck knows, there's nothing on that in any little news topics whatsoever. But yeah, I say, it's weird. It's just weird how gaming culture is, and it differentiates. And I love it. I find it very fascinating. As as a studier of all this sort of thing. I mean, I talk about this shit every week, you know. But it's just sort of, I'd love to know what changes with the gaming culture. What are the Japanese public doing that? You know, I mean, if we've got any listeners from Japan, you know, email our show, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. I'd love to know what's going on in Japan with the fact that, I mean, are they not stuck indoors, you know, like I am, by choice. I've, you know, Final Fantasy to play. You know, what's going on? Why is there no console sales? Yeah, I know, I said mobile's the big thing, but it's like, are they out and about, walking around on their phones? And, I mean, that pisses me off, the fact that some idiot walks into me when they're on their phone because they're not looking properly, and, you know, they end up on the floor because, you know, you walk into me, I'm going to knock it down. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, are their travel commutes that bad? I mean, the whole stereotype in Japan, in Tokyo, of literally everyone's jammed onto a train and you've got to be pushed on by guards and just to get all the people to and from work. I mean, I can't imagine there's much room there to play mobile games. I don't know. It's just a way of life, I guess. I mean, even when I was at this gaming event on Saturday, I mean, everyone, literally, the phones are out, 3DSs are out. It's one of those things. It's just weird to sort of comprehend, and I want to do that. I want to understand why, but maybe it's just a change of the times. Maybe this is something that we're going to embrace in the future. I mean, you know, the Western world is usually a few decades behind what's going on overseas or in other countries. even when it's better stuff that's happening, you know, when you just get different views and aspects on it. But I can understand this. I mean, I can understand that Nintendo doing as well as they are when it comes to this sort of stuff. Every country has a different console that's favourable, and, you know, over in Europe here, it's like, you know, the PlayStation 4, in America, it's the Xbox, and, you know, Japan, it's Nintendo, and you basically got to make games that, you know, fit the different markets. But I'd love to know what the sort of market of gaming's for this country, you know, for, you know, this sort of side of the planet. I mean, you know, Boom Beach and Clash of Clans are all I hear about. I don't know, it's just, maybe that's, I mean, that's something to look into as well, the mobile games, like what sort of stuff they're playing, but I don't know. This, I mean, you know, it's fascinating, you know, I just sort of, I'm sort of looking at this graph again as well, and it's just a steady decline for the past, like, seven or eight years. But, I mean, I'm looking at, right, from, I think, 87 when it starts, there's a massive rise, and then it peaks at 97, and then basically sort of goes down and up again for the next, well, basically for the next 10 years. It's just every 10 years there's a peak and a drop. So I'm guessing now where we are with current phase, there's going to be a pickup in the next, what, couple of years. If we get a new Nintendo. See, this is weird, right? We've got the Wii U, which, it's doing okay. Not as well as the Wii did, but, I mean, it's got some stuff coming out. We've got, you know, Zelda. We've got Star Fox. There's, like, a bunch of Mario games on the way. Super Smash Brothers has just come out. And then, you know, they've got, like, a whole new console supposedly coming out soon. We might hear that about E3 or next year. So it could pick itself up again with the whole, you know, Japanese console market. But I'm just trying to think, 2007, what the hell was I doing in 2007? God, I wasn't in college, was I? No. I was just trying to think about, I'm thinking about the GameCube and stuff, but I think the GameCube was well dead in 2007. Well, yeah, I mean, 2007 was the Wii, I think the Wii was when the Wii came out. I mean, I don't have this information off the top of my head, but yeah, I mean, just sort of looking up stuff and, I don't know, it's just... Maybe we're in for another rise. I mean, just in 2007, on this graph, the money made and stuff, physical sales on gaming and, you know, consoles and games, is the highest it's ever been. And then basically, it's just basically dropped down. I mean, even now, right, 2014, look at this number, it's 369 billion yen. It's still better than it was in 87. And they had about, it was when it started off this graph at 299 billion. So they're still doing better now than when this thing first started, but it's just been going a steady decline. But I don't know, maybe that's something that needs to be looked into, more mobile gaming friendly stuff, or, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a social experience that's changing. I don't know. There's so many questions with this, and, you know, I'm coming up on a break in a few minutes, so I'll move on from this because I do like to talk. I have a huge fan of how gaming differentiates in different cultures. I mean, because that's the thing. It's the East and it's the West. You've got, you know, us in Europe and America. It's, yeah, we've got your Call of Duties, we've got your FIFAs, you've got your Maddens, you've got your multiplayer stuff, your sports console stuff. Literally, we're sitting in on our asses getting fat. I mean, literally, I've put on a tiny little bit of weight because I didn't do any exercise while I was off, because I've been sort of sitting and snacking on Doritos and stuff playing Final Fantasy. But, you know, now I'm sort of back to work and exercising more. But, you know, that's how our culture is. Whereas Japan, it's like everyone's moving about and going places and doing stuff. They're on their phones, they're on their 3DSs, they're on their PS Vitas. You know, they're going places, and just how it differentiates. And you think about, well, Korea and stuff with your League of Legends and your Dotas, how they're enjoying their time, and it's purely fascinating. You know, I'm probably boring the shit out of everyone, but yeah, to me, I find it very fascinating with how different cultures and what people are playing and why they're playing it, and how it reflects on what's going on amongst the gaming trends. Let's find some more stuff to talk about. Okie dokie. Oh, here we go. Yes. Maybe we'll, I say, I'll go into this first. What the fuck? Oh, hang on. No, wrong. Click on the wrong fucking link. One sec. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, redundancies at Elite Dangerous developer Frontier. This is from Eurogamer. Elite Dangerous developer Frontier has announced redundancies in the same breath as a new Tycoon game. The Cambridge-based company announced the development of a self-published game called Coaster Park Tycoon, which is intended to run as a second franchise alongside continued development of space game Elite Dangerous. The move marks the next stage in the Frontier's transition towards increase its proportion of self-published revenue. Frontier maker of Roller Coaster Tycoon games said, Coaster Park Tycoon was due out. Was due in 2016. It's only 2015 for PC. Meanwhile, Frontier issued an operations update signaling a refocus of its development activities to Cambridge, where the expertise in these franchises lie. However, 15 content creative roles have been redundant in Cambridge from a total headcount of 281 as part of a change in the overall staffing mix to match needs of these two projects. Development roles are being moved from Canada studio from the Canada studio, which opened up in 2012, to Cambridge. Frontier said, effectively signaling its closure. Frontier said it continues to recruit in areas such as game and technology programming, server and web front-end development. We've got a statement from Johnny Watts, Chief Creative Officer of Frontier. It says, Coaster Park games appeal to a great many people, as proven by Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. It is a field for which Frontier has unparalleled expertise and immense passion, and one to which we have long waited to make a no-holds-barred return. We want Coaster Park Tycoon to be another major step forward for the simulation genre and sit along Elite Dangerous as a second major self-published franchise. Does this news of redundancy mean Elite Dangerous has failed to meet sales expectations? Frontier has yet to confirm a sales figure, which with the game being sold on Frontier's website only. We don't have concurrent player numbers statistics to help gauge popularity. I'd like to know that, because I mean, Elite Dangerous is a beautiful looking game and it looks really fun to play. And you know, I haven't really heard much about it. I mean, I've been looking across other stuff, but actually details, but it was just like tutorials and you know what to find where and that sort of stuff, but nothing really you know overly positive. I mean, you know, it's a great looking game, but I haven't heard anything you know that's shot out from it. But however, only a couple of weeks ago, on the 9th of January, Frontier issued a trading update that claims sales of Elite Dangerous, which launched on the 16th of December 2014, had been encouraging, which that basically means slow and steady. The trading update revealed that from the 19th of June 2014 to the 9th of January 2015, Frontier had received an additional £11.1 million in cash from over the 250,000 Elite Dangerous players. In this period, since Frontier's Kickstarter campaign was completed in January 2013 to 6th of January 2015, the total cash received was 14.1 million from just over 300,000 players. Sales remain strong, Frontier added. The total addressable market for the game will grow as the group adds new platforms, starting with the Apple Mac in approximately 3 months' time. This despite the ongoing Elite Dangerous refund saga that has dogged Frontier ever since it revealed the game would not include the promised offline mode, which is a bit of a bastard. Frontier's projections for Elite Dangerous are worth noting. The outline base, mid and ball scenarios for sales and revenues during 2015, 2016, 2017. Frontier's ball scenario for year ending in 31st of May 2015, for example, predicted 750,000 in sales and about £7 million in revenue. Here's the interesting part. When these scenarios were prepared, Frontier assumed a typical average unit price of £10, but it raised the price of the game to 40 based on the expected quality of the game. And trust, it looks like a really good game. And I mean, I don't get that. I mean, I paying 10 mount, yeah, okay. I have no problem if I had the rig and everything to set this up. I have no problem paying 40 quid for this game because it looks amazing. I mean, that's Star Citizen. I'd pay at least 60 quid for that because it looks... I mean, the stuff you can do, seriously, I'd pay a lot of money to play that game. And in fact, as I say, I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV. I bought the collector's edition, which cost me nearly 50 quid. And for the next... I know, until I get bored and stop playing, I'm paying, what, £8-9 a month? But, you know, based on the expected quality of the game and so far, Frontier is currently receiving greater revenue from fewer units sold. So, you know, there's money coming. There's lots of money coming in, but not from many people, basically. There's got to be a percentage in that one somewhere. On the 9th of January, Frontier said it hopes Elite Dangerous sales would lead to revenues doubling in around 19 million by the end of the current fiscal year. On the 30th of November 2014, before the full public release of the game, Frontier had net cash of around 9.8 million. As well as Elite Dangerous and now Coaster Park Tycoon being in development, Frontier is working on Scream Ride for Microsoft. That's due out on the Xbox One in March, so it's out now, so between now and the end of the month. If you've been affected by... just bullshitty email thingy. But yeah, I say... I mean, it's the same thing with all developers when it comes to this sort of stuff. There's redundancies all over the place. I mean, when I was, I'm going back now 15 plus years, I talked to my mum about careers and future stuff. She said, why don't you play a lot of games? Why don't you get into computer game designs? And I'm like, said to her, I'm not smart enough to understand any damn thing, let alone how to program computers. And all this sort of stuff, I've been talking about this for years. I mean, there's always layoffs and movements. And it's like, I don't think I could deal with that. Trying to set up some sort of life where, yes, I'm doing something that I'd love, and that's been making my own computer games. But once you've been used by the company to make it, and the game's out the door, unless they like you enough to keep you on, they'll kick you out and you've got no job and no livelihood. And it's literally moving from studio to studio. It's just not the sort of lifestyle you want to lead, to be honest. Elite Dangerous is doing well. I mean, it's only been out, 3 months? 3-4 months? It's still got more to go, and the game looks amazing. It's just... it's one of those things. I mean, I don't might have a problem with these Kickstarters. I mean, they're quite fun if they work, and they're quite fun if they don't. I mean, there was one that I think I've got a news article, which I'll read at once for the break. And it's like, they 3 days they raised the money to make this sort of MMO. But... and, other stuff, Star Citizen, that sort of stuff, that's fine. But the thing is, you're putting it on a PC. The PC is a dying market for gaming. I mean, you've got your MMOs, you've got your World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, that's hit 4 million players, people are playing that game, which is a lot, considering that World of Warcraft's at 8 million now. It's gone getting lower and lower and lower, whereas Final Fantasy is awesome looking and it's fun to play. Anyone who wants to play, join on the Phoenix server, that's where I am. You're making games for a dying console market. You want to make a game that sells, chuck it on the Xbox, chuck it on the PlayStation, and if you really feel down, chuck it on the Wii U. There's other consoles and stuff that you can put it on. If you're not getting the sales you want, I would never play a MMO on a PC because I'm not computer literate when it comes to fucking... the amount of laptops and shit I've gone from, build a PC, I couldn't update the cards and all that sort of stuff. I mean, even though it's all basically pull out, slot in, that sort of stuff, but all that coding stuff, it fries my fucking brain. But I say if you want games to sell and you want them to do well, developers, put it on the fucking console. Give us, I love Star Citizen. The game looks amazing. I'd love to play it if I had a PC that could run it and all that sort of bollocks. But I'm not going to. I'm going to look at videos and, get all happy in my pants about it. But it's like, unless it's coming out on a console, I ain't touching that shit. Because I'd love to, but it's just, you know, it's not going to happen. But it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, if your game sales aren't that good, it's because where you're putting your game. It's, as I say, I talked about earlier with the Japan thing. Yeah, their console sales are booming because it's, you know, they're making games for the system, for the actual where it wants to be. Whereas you're making games that you just want to put on a PC. It's like, well, you're making money on this stuff. Just chuck it on a chuck it up as a download. Don't bother about putting it on the box or whatever. The game looks amazing. We'll buy it. I mean, I've got Resident Evil, the HD remastered. I played through twice. I'm probably never going to play it again. And I paid full price for it. I'm not that fussed. It was a great game. I enjoyed it. I mean, Elite Dangerous looks amazing. Star Citizen looks amazing. It came out as a console download release. I would buy it straight away. And you'd have more money. I mean, the fact the amount of console sales that we're getting in the Western world these days, you just want to, you know, put it on the PC where people who have PCs, they're either playing fucking like EVE Online, just basically playing MMOs. There's nothing else sort of platformy, whatever to play, you know. I don't know. All right, time for me to take a break because I need a drink and something to eat. But yeah, I'll be back in about 15 minutes after these messages, and I will see you then.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisandAlfred.com, 24-7.
Yeah!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the high. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. celebrating 15 years of ultra violence. Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, the way at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
And to the Mexicans?
The amen.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop are you?
No, that sounds like terrible. Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh, Deborah.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here. Oh man, I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever, it's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
I'm on your... fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises. Blah, 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 blah. I can't understand what...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, see this from,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the, racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, we can't sell Pettysville to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can't sell that.
I got pink. I got pain.
I always said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock?
Stan! Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Over the weekend, something really bad happened. We lost a great man, Leonard Nimoy. He died, and it's you know, fucking, it's terrible. I mean, yes, I know he was very old and, you know, health problems and stuff. But his life won't be forgotten. I say, as I talked about Elite Dangerous before the break, and Star Citizen, they will be adding some Leonard Nimoy memorials. A bunch of games have done this. I've got I've got an article about the Star Trek online game in a second, but I'm going to read this first. This is all from Eurogamer as well. Here we go. Yeah, Space Games, Elite Dangerous, and Star Citizen will both honour the late Star Trek actor Leonard Nimoy via in-game memorials. It follows a simple pledge from Star Trek Online developer Cryptic after, 1,000 players logged on the AGN MMO simply to pay their respect to Mr. Spock. Elite Dangerous executive producer Michael Brooks announced the Nimoy Memorial Station via a post on the Frontier Games official forum. The studio will add its nod to Nimoy in the game's upcoming Wings Updates 1.2, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Star Citizen developer Cloud Imperium Games will also be honouring Star Trek's most prominent pointy-eared persona. Hey guys, no petition necessary, community manager Ben Lenzik, Lesnick explains, responding to players' request for a memorial. I think it's safe to say that Mr. Nimoy was an inspiration to all of us on the team, both acting as Spock and because of his core kind humanity. We'll find an appropriate way to honour him. And, that's so cool, really. I mean, it is a tragic loss. I mean, the guy was such an amazing actor and did so much for the sci-fi genre of everything. You know, the guy was awesome and the character was awesome, you know. It's just a sad thing. I mean, literally, I found out and I chucked on... Into Darkness, but the Star Trek remake, pretty much remake, the first one with Chris Pine in it, and I sort of watched that, and I'm like, it's so sad that, you know, to think now that he's dead, and you think Shatner would have gone first, to be honest, you know, to make a bit of humour out of this, because he's a big, fat, useless cunt, but it's like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, you know, he's gone, but he won't be forgotten. I mean, Nimoy did more stuff than Star Trek. He, you know, I think he was in Mission Impossible, the TV series, that is. Transformers. He was in Fringe. He was in one of the Transformers movies, one of the shittier ones, which is basically anything after, well, the first one until the end. But yeah, I mean, we lost a great man. But I mean, I'll go into the what they've done for him on the Star Trek game. But it's nice. I'm looking at screenshots here, and there's literally just like people standing in a circle around some sort of ornament. So maybe I'll just have some big statue. Maybe just a fuck. I don't know. I'll read if I can find out where the bloody article went. Here we go. Yeah. Star Trek Online. Here we go. Yes. I didn't even know this was still going on, to be honest. Star Trek Online players pay respect to Leonard Nimoy. Last night's. This is from. Over the weekend, players gathered to repay their respects to Leonard Nimoy, who died at age 83. Yesterday image showing Star Trek Online players paying their respects quickly shot up to the most of the front page of Reddit. One user, whatever, said around 100,000 There's not even that many people playing it. About 1,000 players travel to the 5-year-old MMO's version of Vulcan. Following yesterday's news, the game then split players up to into instances of 15 to 20 characters. By the time I logged on, there was around 24 instances and several partial. This person said in a blog post, around 1,000 players, sad for Spock, not saying the game has a large population, but it's nice to see. While yesterday's gathering was spontaneous, Cryptic plans to add an official standing in-game memoriam to Spock this Thursday, which is in 2 days' time. I want to once again express my heartfelt condolences to the friends, family of fans, and Lennon Moy. Executive producer Steve Ricosa wrote in a post on the Star Trek Online forum. Everyone at the Cryptic Studios was saddened to hear the passing. We want to make sure we never forget the cultural impact of the man or the character he played. To that end, the Star Trek Online team will implement a standing in-game memoriam to Spock and Leonard Nimoy this Thursday with our regular weekly maintenance. That's nice of them to do, you know. But, I mean, you know, it was such a big part of, you know, sort of, like I say, nerd culture and sci-fi in general. You know, you think about all the the many Comic-Cons we've had over the years, or any sort of sci-fi thing, people who've dressed up as Spock, how much of an impact he has had on people's lives, and he won't be forgotten. And it's kind of bad. It's good that he's getting these memoriams, but it's Star Trek Online. I say, it was not big when it came out, but it was had a decent following. Whether there's people still playing it now is anyone's guess, basically. But, you know, 1,000 people signed in for the first time in however long. But, you know, I mean, you think something like this, maybe EVE Online would get on board, because there's hundreds and thousands of people playing this game. You know, but yeah, he's getting some memorials done for him, which is, you know, it's great, basically. Let's move on to something a bit brighter than him, because it's sort of making me feel a bit choked up, to be honest. There we go. Yeah, Destiny developer. This is Bungie. This is from IGN. Stop the bloody video. There we go. Thank you. Fucking arseholes. Destiny developer says mistakes will not be replicated. Bungie has plans to take a different approach to Destiny's loot system, loot reward system in the upcoming House of Wolves expansion. Destiny developer Luke Smith said the studio will not repeat the mistakes we made with the DLC, the Dark Below reward economy on NeoGAF. There we go. In response to comments about House of Wars' potential reward system, the studio. There we go. 1 second. There we go. Oh, for fuck's sake! Come here, bloody article. There we go. The studio has nothing official to announce, but Smith did list Vault of Glass vendor gear, invalidating raid gear, resetting talents through upgrading, and the shard economy as mistakes the studio made. I really should put in Destiny and see what happens. You know, it would be interesting to see what happens with the game when I turn it on, all the updates and whatever's happening in game, and I don't know. Probably not. I'll probably just leave it on the shelf and sell it. Our philosophy about the reward loots continue to evolve as we see how players plan and react. Smith says, adding the studio's intends to continue improvements on loot rewards and drop rates to make the acquisition of gear more fun through less grinding. It's like I said, you know, earlier with the Japan stuff. We don't want to spend hours and hours and hours on doing stuff. We just want to get it now and get it done. Because you've got to find a sort of happy medium between that. Because, it's like, I don't want to spend hours and hours and hours and grinding. Whereas, I mean, I'm doing my crafting stuff, like my fishing and all that. I don't mind. If I'm sitting, literally, I know it's an outdated show. It ended like 10 years ago. But I have been sitting here watching old episodes of That 70s Show on Netflix on my laptop while I'm sort of fishing in Final Fantasy. But we don't want to spend hours. I mean, that sort of stuff I can spend hours and hours doing, because it, you know, gets my level up and whatever. And all the fish I can sell. Stuff like this, we don't want to spend hours and hours on grinding. And you've got to find that happy medium where we do a certain amount of time where we don't get bored, but we get rewards from what we're doing. You know, I mean, you know, with the free-to-play arcade stuff, handheld stuff, you know, I'm thinking Clash of Clans, Boom Beach. You have the crystal system. You can buy in-game crystals, which you can use to upgrade your stuff, or you can just find them in-game and do it that way. It's, you know, it's all that sort of thing. Where was I? Yes. Here we go. Yeah, Bungie has been assessing item rewards and drop rates between the Vault of Glass and Crozer's End, and have now found increased drop rates and variability of perks on items, as well as removing shards as a barrier between players. New loot would be viable improvements moving forward. Bungie deployed a hotfix removing the exploit in the Crota encounter before rolling out Crota's End hard mode earlier this week. Fireteam 1 and Dunn were the first to complete their new raid, finishing in just under 27 minutes. In the first 24 hours, over 3 million players participated in the updated Crota's End raid. You can find more... just bullshit about IGN. But yeah... Yeah, we shouldn't spend hours and hours just doing this stuff. We want to maybe once or twice, not a problem, whatever, go through it again, you know. But I don't know. Let's have a look at this one. This is about BioWare cancelling one of its 4-1 online RPG, Shadow Realms. Shadow Realms, the isometric competitive online RPG from BioWare, has been cancelled. This may come as something as a shock, as Bertie played an early... I don't know who Bertie is. I was one of the writers in it, yeah, Eurogamer. He played an earlier build as it's recently as August and had a pretty good time. Then again, maybe it's not that surprising, as reports surfaced that last month that the game was going to be retooled into a much bigger game that wouldn't be due out until 2017. So, I mean, just from what I've read so far... You know, they've still got the stuff there, so it could be, you know, keep all the elements they've made and, you know, all the information, put it to one side, that when, you know, they get Mass Effect 4 out of the way, please, because I want Mass Effect 4, please, 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 can I have Mass Effect 4, please, now, we'll get it out eventually. You know, it's, we'll see. I mean, because, you know, it's only a PC game, so fuck it. It's dying fucking market. Sadly, that's not the case. We've made the decision to not move forward with development of Shadow Realms, said BioWare Austin General Manager Jeff Hickman on the developer's blog. And why would it do that, you ask? It turns out the studio would rather focus its efforts on other titles, namely Star Wars Your Republic, which... it's doing better than Star Trek Online, but it's... When MMOs go free to play, it's pretty much the death of them, to be honest. That's what I heard from some podcasts I was listening to the other week. While the team did amazing work on the game's concept, and we get lots of great feedback, I'm just looking at a screenshot now, it looks pretty nice. Feedback yet from our fans at events through other gaming game testing. Right now, there are other projects for the team to work on within the BioWare studios for the upcoming year and beyond. Hickman said these include additional ongoing enhancements to the award-winning Dragon Age Inquisition, as well as the next game in the Mass Effect series and another new IP. But the biggest focus for our team in BioWare Austin will be the Star Wars The Old Republic, he clarified. As every Star Wars fan knows, this is a massive year in the Star Wars universe. We have some great plans for expanding this epic game this year, and look forward to sharing the news about these plans with other players in the coming weeks. So, as we've got GDC this week, we might hear something now. You know, I say it's March already. This year's already going by so far. So, three months into the year already, and, you know, a couple more months, we'll have, you know, E3. We'll hear some stuff. I must say, you know, the new Star Wars movie's not out till Christmas, so we'll wait and see. I think that's... Yeah, that's pretty much the end of the article. But yeah, I mean, I just want... Can you work on... Do some stuff with Star Wars? I mean, you know, people focused on that one. I would love to know how many... I'd have to look it up, see how many people are still playing Star Wars The Old Republic. Because, I mean, I've been hitting people shitting on it all over the place. When, as I said, I know I've said this, I think, about a year or so ago. Yep, Star Wars The Old Republic could have been a good game if you basically put it onto fucking consoles and made it a proper single-player game and continued the story and, you know, not made it an MMO, because you basically just killed off half the people who loved it on the original Xbox. It's one of the few games on the original Xbox that people actually played, because the original Xbox, not many people loved it. It was great for the Xbox Live stuff, for your Halo, but what else did you play? You played Halo, you played the original Knights of the Old Republic, and that was it, really, you know. I mean, it's like people who had Dreamcast. Yeah, you did Power Stone, Crazy Taxi, bit of Sonic. Is there anything else? That was it. You know, it's one of the consoles, the very few titles that are actually known for that people played. Let's call up another bit of news for everyone. Okie dokie. I'm trying to find something else to... where was that? Here we go. Yes. One sec. Nope. Oh, fucking, I saw it. Here we go. Yes. I talked about this last week. I talked about the Valve's virtual reality headset. This from Eurogamer. It's been called the Vive. It's going to be made by HTC. So it should be pretty good, I guess. I mean, I don't have a HTC phone, but I guess they're good. You know, mine's a Samsung, so, you know. Valve has partnered with Taiwanese smartphone and tablets maker HTC to make its virtual reality headset. The Vive is manufactured by HTC and powered by Valve's Steam VR. A consumer version is due out in holiday 2015. I love that it's got in brackets, so it might be delayed. We'll wait and see. So it'll probably beat rival VR headsets Oculus Rift and Morpheus to the market. A developer version will be available in the spring. Well, that seems a bit... That's not much time to actually make this. If it's due out in around the Christmas time and they're only getting the headsets out now, you've got to have some sort of... It seems to be, 8 months? That's not long to make a game for this thing, really. You know, I don't know. This is interesting. It's worth following. I'm going to keep an eye on this anyway. But I'll carry on reading. HTC said that the Vive is powered by the Steam VR. Plenty of games that use it will be available soon on Steam. The Vive features a 1200 by 1080 pixel screen in front of each eye with a refresh rate of 90 frames per second. HTC says it fills your field of vision in all directions, thus avoiding the jitter association with other VR devices. Also included is a gyro sensor, accelerometer, and laser position sensor that, according to HTC, combine to track rotation of your head on both axes to an accuracy of 1/10 of a degree. That's pretty cool. You can couple the headset with a pair of VR based stations to track your physical locations in spaces up to 15 feet by 15 feet. So you'll be able to get up and walk around inside Half-Life virtually. There's an audio jack on the side of the headset, into which you can plug your headphones. No shit. Elsewhere, you can use VR game controllers in each hand to virtually use objects and interact with the virtual world. This has actually got me excited now. I mean, we're actually getting somewhere with this stuff. I mean, I say, before I started playing Final Fantasy XIV, I was watching a lot of Sword Online. I've been watching several episodes again and again because it sort of gets me more engrossed. And now that it was what I was using to watch while I was waiting for my controller to charge up. But now that I actually know I can use my phone charger off it, I'm fine. But yeah, I say this gets me more and more excited for, you know, what we can experience from the virtual world. But, you know, it's still not a full body dive simulation into it. But, you know, it's something, to be honest. But I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things. It's like, okay, you know, don't sit so, you know, parents telling your kids, don't sit so close to the screen, you damage your eyes. But, you know, maybe this, it's... that get that close enough, that aspect, that we will, you know, become part of the world. I don't know. It's clear HTC has plans for the Vive that go beyond gaming, and it's also working with Google, HBO, Lionsgate, and the National Palace Museum in Taiwan to build virtual reality experiences. But video game developers are also interested. Vertigo Games, Bosa, Fireproof, and Dovetail are all involved. The first Valve game is called Job Simulator, and it's developed by virtual reality specialist Alchemy Games. It looks, it looks like a little more the tech demo at the stage. I'm not expecting anything else but tech demos. And usually, I mean, you look at the Wii, how that did with that tech demos with Wii Sports, you know. Yes, looks more on a tech demo at the stage. That may or may not be fleshed out in a future release. This seems like an appropriate time to reveal that Valve's Chet Falsek's talk at this month's Res 2015 game show is all about virtual reality. Chet Falsek talks about the Valve, what Valve has learned from working internally and with outside developers using the VR, Steam VR, as we all look towards creating content for 2015 and beyond. Expect more on Valve's virtual reality plans for this week at the GDC. I want to be excited for what we're getting virtual reality. If it works, I mean, I wear glasses, as I probably mentioned many a time. I actually did get to see a 3D movie with Hammy last year, went to see Guardians of the Galaxy. That was pretty cool. And I didn't think I'd see a 3D movie because of the glasses. But if the VR stuff works with my glasses, then I'll be fine. If not, then fuck it. I wonder about this sort of stuff. And, you know, will it work? Will it won't? What games are we going to get? How detailed are they going to be? Because, you know, you're creating a whole virtual world. You've got to have that immersive experience for us to play in. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing there. We finally got a release date for Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. It's coming out on the 1st of September 2015, which, you know, is actually earlier than I thought it'd be. I didn't think we'd actually get it till like October, November. But September, that's fine. It's literally the day before my sister's birthday. So basically, I can sort of ignore my sister and just say, I'm playing this. Publisher Konami has planned an official announcement tomorrow. Tomorrow, this came out today, the start of this article. And there's even a countdown on the Metal Gear Solid website pointing to 2 p.m. UK time on the 4th of March. But an eagle-eyed NeoGAF user found a couple of video interviews with the series creator Hideo Kojima on website's IGN servers, and they revealed the release date that has now been pulled. So basically, so in the video, Kojima stresses Metal Gear Solid 5 will be his final Metal Gear Solid, but then he always says that, doesn't he? Well, yeah, he does, but what else is he going to work on? I'm interested. I want to play this, but I say I'm a big Metal Gear fan, and I'm still pissed off the fact that David Hayter's not the voice of Solid Snake. We got fucking Kiefer Dumbass Sutherland. I'm not that fussed about this. I mean, I'm going to talk about the whole Mother Base stuff, which I couldn't really give two shits about. I just want to play through the story and see what it's about. I'm sure even when this does come out, I might even just hold off for a while and just sort of see what other people say. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that overly fussed. I mean, I want to play it, but I'm not. I've been waiting so long for this damn game. I mean, you know, a year and a half or whatever. I don't know. But in the video, I've read that bit. I always say that it will be my last. This is a quote from him. I always say this will be my last Metal Gear, but in the games in the series that I've personally produced, Metal on the MX, MSX, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Peace Walker, and now Metal Gear Solid 5, constitute a single Metal Gear saga. Constitute a Metal Gear saga, Kojima says. With Metal Gear Solid 5, I'm finally closing the loop on the saga. In that sense, this will be the final Metal Gear Solid to me. This is the last Metal Gear. So Kojima's saying about that, which was, I sat down and had a look at a whole bunch of timeline stuff to do with the Metal Gear stuff and how it all went. yeah, this has to be the last Metal Gear game because there's no way you can interject any other sort of, plot devices or alternate things and into the actual series itself. I mean, to me, the final game was Metal Gear Solid 4, but this one just sort of fills in part of the timeline that we're missing. I mean, I know they're working on another Metal Gear. What the fuck's the one with Raiden? With Raiden, the ninja shit. I think they're working on another one of them, but I don't know. I mean, just make this, end it, and then do something else. What, give us Zone of the Enders. I want Zone of the Enders 3, please, because, I mean, 1 was great, 2, not so much. The final fucking boss was really hard as balls. But yeah, give us Zone of the Enders, please. If you're not making any more Metal Gear Solids, then yeah, I want some Zone of the Enders. That'd be nice. But yeah, we finally get a release date, which, 1st of September, it's coming out pretty quick. What else? There was something else I wanted to look at. Guild. 1 second. Yeah, here we go. Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition, spotted for PlayStation 4. I mean, mate just picked this up on a PC as well. Eagle-Eyed Gamers are spotting a listing for Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition on PlayStation 4. An Amazon page for Vigil's well-received action game popped up over the weekend, and it's still available to view at the time of the writing, which was about a couple of weeks ago. Darksiders publisher Nordic Games is yet to officially announce a new version and told Eurogamer that it couldn't comment further at this time. But other PlayStation 4 versions of Nordic properties have also been spotted, including The Legend of K HD, Arcania, The Complete Tale, MX vs. ATV Supercross Encore Edition, and The Book of Unwritten Tales 2, the latter of which is also listed for Xbox One. Each of these has a placeholder release for the 31st of December. Wow. Although these will most certainly change as and when the games are officially announced. Nordic acquired the rights to Darksiders franchise following the collapse of a series of previous publisher THQ. The company has yet to announce plans for a new project in the series, but last year released a Darksiders collection which included both games in the franchise so far. So far alongside the sequels, season pass content. We are not a developer, Nordic boss Lars Wingsfors previously told Eurogamer, we should not create a sequel. We did find the best creative team to look into a sequel. We will look into various options to make the sequels. We have been approached by people who seem to know that product very well. However, if those discussions lead anywhere, I don't know. Well, actually, if they do lead anywhere, you should fucking know. I played the first Darksiders. It was good. Darksiders 2, I watched loads of videos about this. I never got round to it. I just sort of... Something sort of slipped off my radar. I completely forgot about, but yeah, from what I've been hearing, it's actually a really good game, and I might pick this up. It's a definitive edition, so no doubt it'll probably be really cheap, but it'd be worth to play. It'd be worth to enjoy. Basically. Here we go. Something about new Tomb Raider. Rise of the Tomb Raider puzzles will take you longer to solve, Crystal Dynamics promises. Xbox One and Xbox 360 time exclusive Rise of the Tomb Raider will feature a greater emphasis on puzzles than its predecessor, developer Crystal Dynamics has pledged. The fans criticised 2013's Tomb Raider's reboot for a lack of the series' trademark puzzle-based platforming. Indeed, many of the puzzles sections that were presented were entirely skippable, relegated to so-called optional tombs. Which was... They were fun anyway. I mean, I liked doing all the tombs. They were great. That's the whole point. But in a new interview with the Game Informer, creative director Noah Hughes explained that his team had heard the feedback. Puzzles are an important part of the Tomb Raider formula. We're excited to have more tombs in the game and featuring more puzzles. You'll still see a spectrum of difficulty for puzzles, so some of the secret tombs are larger and in some cases might have more difficult puzzles, but we're trying to put them in the game in a ramped kind of way. Puzzles will retain the physical-based nature seen in the Tomb Raider reboot, but he centred be centered in more ancient themed spaces, which, to be honest, we had that with the tombs, the, you know, little tombed rooms from the last one, and it was fun. I mean, it wasn't, to be honest, that's the thing. With this sort of stuff, you couldn't make the game too puzzly, because it wasn't really about puzzle solving. It was about the story of what was happening. Like, you know, the ship smashed up in a storm. She landed on this island. One of her crewmates was taken to be this new goddess. Literally, she was trying to fight off assassins and killers, you know, trained thugs. There was tombs and puzzles and stuff, but it wasn't overly prevalent, because there was no need for it to be. But in this next one, we're going to get more puzzles, so, you know, just make it so it fits in aesthetically with the world, not because you've just thrown them because people were bitching there weren't enough puzzles. Outside the reboots, reboots optional tombs, the main storyline features puzzles involving more. Which means if you were at the achievement hall like I am, then you basically need all the tombs to unlock the achievements to get the 100% of the game. Involving more mobile, modern areas such as cranes and lift sections set within the Endurance ship and in facilities on the island. Our intent is to challenge the player, but we don't want average players getting into stalemates continue. So one of the things we're doing to push the level of accomplishment with these tombs is something we call nested puzzles, which were actually common in classic Tomb Raider games. In where you have multiple tiles to a room and multiple things you have to do to solve the main puzzle, and this allows you to actually tinker with these different elements rather than just staying there face to face with a puzzle scratching your head. Yeah, I think this is what they were talking about on it was basically one of the Tomb Raider games where you start off and she's like 16 or something and you're being followed by your mentor. They basically wanted to scale down the puzzles because people were moaning about the puzzles even then, how big and why they were, but here you just sort of, it was sort of scaled down to the room you're in. But okay, these tombs will take you longer to solve, but it's still an interesting combination of physics and cause and effect systems to add up to the grand finale of getting through that door at the end of the room. Crystal will push the difficulty in Rise of the Tomb Raider, in Tomb Raider's secrets tombs, but also up the rewards found inside to entice more players to take on the challenges. And of course, you had to do the optional tombs in the original, this recent Tomb Raider from 2013, because that's how you got all the upgrades for your guns. Otherwise, you're basically just, you know, shooting the shit out of people, and it's like ages and ages and more ammo. But because you had to find all the loot to upgrade your guns, and, you know, there was tons of stuff to do in Tomb Raider. It was great. Fuck all these people who didn't like it. I loved it. I bought it twice. You know, it's a good game when I have to buy it twice. Here we go. This ain't to wrap up the show because I'm running out of time as usual. Blizzard exploring Diablo 3's microtransactions, but not for EU or the US. Blizzard may add microtransactions to Diablo 3 in some regions of the world, but there are no plans in Europe or America yet. The evidence from microtransactions was buried in patch 2.2 files. Blizzard, preempting data miners, issued a statement about it on European and American Battle.net forums. Some new features may start up, may start to show up in the data mined information for patch 2.2. That will not apply to all regions. Specifically, the following features will not apply to Europe or American region. A new currency called Platinum, the timed experience boosts, new cosmetic items including wings and non-combat pets and character portraits, preferences to stash space and character slot expansions, a new UI interface that references the above information. I need to find that, because literally I had this on my PlayStation 3. And I'd love to know if this sort of stuff carries over to... not carries over, but... if we're getting all these like pets and stuff like that for the Xbox One and PlayStation versions, PlayStation 4 versions, but I wouldn't mind picking this game up again and having another go through, possibly. It says, we recognise that many players have expressed an interest in microtransactions being able to download, being added to Diablo 3. While we may explore this model in some regions, we have no immediate plans to implement such purchases or the aforementioned features anytime soon for the Americas region. Now, nowhere has Blizzard confirmed exactly which reasons it may explore the microtransaction model for. Apparently, there's a post in the Korean D3 forum running that that region is out as well, which I thought they might do it there. But as for the game's launch in China, it's a strong bet. So, yeah, as you know, China's finally getting some games. Let's make some money off those idiots. Diablo 3 is officially on its way to China, but awaits the government approval. It could be weeks, it could be months. You know. Wait and see. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening. But so don't forget as well, we do have a new sponsor on the station. It's Vapormania. So basically, if you go to vapormania.com, if you want to buy whatever you want to buy or purchase whatever you want to purchase from the e-cigs, if you enter the coupon code MLR, you get 10% off any order. Yeah, so basically, you know, it's one of our new sponsors. Go on their websites, enter the coupon code. You know, the more people buy stuff, the more use your coupon. You know, use your coupon code every time. It shows that you know we're seeing a lot of people their way, and it's good for us. But yeah, don't forget as well. You know, MNLI 3 in about 7-8 weeks, downtown Lakeland in Florida, 25th of April, 8:30 till midnight. Come out for a really fun night, and it's going to be really really good. Yeah, so don't forget as well. I mean. If you want to get in touch with the show anytime, basically you can email the show. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, don't forget as well, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio is the Facebook page for the show. Give it a like. And as well, at MLRGamerRadio is a Twitter. Follow the station on the, follow the show. And at More Like Radio, you can follow the station. But yeah, so if you want to get in touch with any of the shows, any of the hosts, whatever, go to morelikeradio.com. Go on the site, have a look, see what's going on. Start interacting with the live shows. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Just trying to think what else now. Yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. I'm not too sure what... I mean, I've got a whole bunch of stuff written down for topic ideas for the next couple of weeks. If you do have any ideas for topics you want me to talk about, basically make sure to email us. Message me, you know, go on the Facebook page, write it up there. You know, use your initiative. I trust all the listeners to have a decent brain in their head. So basically, you know, get in touch with me through that lot. But yeah, I say, let me know, email me, tell me what games you're playing, what you think I should play. You know, if you found something good that you think is worth playing, I mean, I've got literally, you know, a bunch of people sending me messages about stuff, you know, look at this, look at that, look at that, you know. I mean, I was looking at John from Hippo Juice. He posted it on Facebook today of some video from, I think it was the Lad's Bible. Yeah, and basically from Grand Theft Auto. One of the characters got thrown from out of a car, smashes through the window, lands on an overpass, on the sort of railing, and the street lamp falls down and crushes his skull and dies that way. It was fucking hilarious. But yeah, so, you know. Anything like that you want to send me, and I'll watch it because I find it very hilarious too. But yeah, so next up is the it would be Alcohol by Volume, but it's a best of. But don't forget, you have My Time Now with Johnny Five, and coming up after that, you have Dutch and Royce finishing up the night. But this is it all from me for this week, and I will see you lot again and talk to you lot again next week, same time, same place. See you soon, people. Goodbye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours.
Viking, north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast, or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.